Good evening. Welcome to our annual candlelight worship service. We have the privilege tonight of telling the story of Christmas, the story of God's great gift, his greatest gift to each one of us. As we do that, there is one lesson to share with you before the first lesson. So I guess that makes this a zero lesson, but I've been informed that I should share with you this lesson. You have a candle, hopefully, and you need to make sure, first of all, that your candle sticks out the top. Okay, so you can all adjust your candle. But later in our worship service, the accolades are going to walk down the aisle. And if you're sitting on the end of an aisle and the accolade approaches you, you are invited to take your candle and tip it to light out of the accolade's candle. And then turn to the person next to you and hold yours vertically like this and allow that person to tip their candle. So that's the process. We're trying to keep it as less messy as we can. So that's the zero lesson for our evening. So let's begin with a word of prayer together. Father, we have come into your house to worship you. And tonight, Lord, we worship you by calling all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to the child that you gifted to us in Bethlehem years ago. And to celebrate that gift, to celebrate the love behind it, to celebrate what Jesus did for us in giving us his life. And so, Father, receive our worship, receive our praise as we hear the lessons and as we sing the carols. We offer this in Jesus' name. Amen.
From the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Christ will bring is foretold. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, verses 6 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion, and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on thy holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious.
Thank you. The angel Gabriel salutes the Virgin Mary. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Luke tells the birth of Jesus, Luke 2, 1, 3 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
The shepherds go to the manger, Luke 2, 8 through 16. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Thank you. Wise men are led by the star to Jesus. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
The seventh lesson. John unfolds the great mystery of the incarnation. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christmas is a wonderful time for sharing stories. There once was a king who loved being king. He liked sitting on the throne and making decisions. He liked living in the castle. He liked visiting the villages of the kingdom and meeting with his subjects. He liked the authority and the power because he could use them to help his people. Not only did the king like being king, but his people throughout the kingdom praised him for ruling so kindly and so wisely. The people knew they could trust their king to do the right thing for them and for the kingdom. And they were right. Because of the king's wisdom, the kingdom was prosperous and peaceful. When the king's son was born, the people put on a great celebration. Now, finally, there was an heir. The people knew the king would be a good father and that his son would someday be as great and wise as his father. The king loved his son even more than he loved his own life. His greatest joy was to spend time with his son. And each evening after the day's duties were accomplished, the king would go out into the gardens behind the castle and play, spend time with his son. The thought of those times with his son often made the hard task of ruling just a little bit easier. Sometimes when he faced a difficult decision or had to settle a dispute or complete a major project, the king would think, "When this is over, I can spend time with my son." And he would smile. One day, the king's son got lost. It was one of those tragic days that had ever passed in the kingdom. He didn't mean to get lost. He loved his father as much as his father loved him. But one day, his father had had a particularly busy day and was late for their daily meeting in the castle gardens. And so the boy decided to explore on his own. There was certainly nothing wrong with that, except this little boy was very little and very young, and nobody told him how easy it was for a little boy to get lost. It happened before the little boy knew it. He was just walking and thinking about his father when, looking up, he found himself in the forest behind the castle. Nothing looked familiar. At first, he was calm, because his father, he figured, would come soon and find him. But as he waited, he began to panic. Then he began to run away. And he ran away from the castle. His clothes caught on broken limbs and tore. He fell into mud hole and another one. And then he cut himself on a jagged rock. Eventually, the little boy wandered into one of the villages of the kingdom. But by that time, he looked like a little beggar, more than he looked like a little prince. The little boy would go up behind someone, grab their coat, pull on it, and say, "Mister, I am the king's son. Would you please help me get home?" "Sure you are, kid," would be the response. "But you don't understand," the little boy said. I got lost and I can't find my father. Most folks simply ignored the little boy. And those who didn't ignore him laughed at him. Pretty soon the little boy was forced to beg for pennies just so he could buy some bread in order to have something to eat. Meanwhile, back at the castle, the king spent a sleepless night looking for his son. He looked everywhere he knew to look, but the little boy was nowhere to be found. By morning, the king suspected that somebody may have kidnapped his son, and he feared that he would never see the little boy again. The king called his armies together and told them what had happened, and he sent them out into the kingdom looking for his son. He offered great rewards to anyone who would give him information leading to the discovery of his little boy. But to the king's great sorrow, the little boy was not found. Hours blended into days, days into weeks, weeks into months, and months into years. Now the little boy was no longer little. He'd grown into be a strong young man. At first, he really thought that he was the king's son, but so many adults had told him over and over differently that he began to think maybe it was just a dream. After all, adults, they really knew things. As the years passed, he forgot about the castle and about his heritage. And it didn't take so many years to forget about the dream altogether. And then the young man began to run with the wrong crowd, lying, stealing, even murder. Nothing was beneath him. But still, he was a prince. If you are a prince, even when you don't know it, it still shows through. Eventually, this young man became the leader of the gang he was a part of. He surpassed all of his friends in his unlawful acts and spurred them on to even greater acts of lawlessness. Years after he left the castle, years after he left his father, the king's son had become the most wanted person in the entire kingdom. One day, after his son had finally been arrested, the king realized it was his own son. At first, he couldn't believe it, but then the more he checked, the more it became clear that he had found his beloved son, and in finding him, the king realized he now faced a terrible dilemma. This king loved his son, but he was also very fair and very just. He knew that if he released his own son who had committed terrible crimes, he would need to release everyone who had ever committed any crime. And that would be unacceptable. The king's son was brought before the judge, and the judge condemned him to be executed for his crimes. The verdict was right and just. So the king's son was thrown into the dungeon beneath the castle in order to wait for his execution. On the night before he was to die, the king went to see his son in prison. Opening his son's cell, he walked in and sat on the bunk across from his son. The king sat there a long time, just looking at his son, before he spoke. "You are my son." "Yeah, somebody told me that." "Have you ever wondered over these years about your parents?" "Sometimes. But as life went on, you know, it just didn't seem all that important." "Well, I have never stopped thinking about you, where you were, and what you have become. You have never been out of my mind and never been out of my heart," the king said. My son, the king continued, his voice trembling with emotion and the tears running down his age lines in his face. I love you with a great love, but you have become lost. I did everything that I knew to do. I sent out my soldiers. I offered a great reward. I have never, ever stopped looking for you. But now it has come to this. And tomorrow you are to die. But son, I have allowed you to go free. And with those words, the king got up and he walked out of his son's cell. After he left, the young man went over to the jail cell door and tested it. Well, what do you know, he said to himself. The old man left it open. The king's son grabbed his coat, threw it over his shoulder, and with a cynical smile, he said aloud, that foolish old man. He thinks just because he has set me free, I will come back to the castle and do whatever he wants. Well, he is more senile than I ever thought. And with that, the young man disappeared up the stairs and into the night. About 2 weeks later, the king's son found out what his freedom had cost. On the day of his scheduled execution, the requirements of the law had been met. His own father had taken his place before the executioner and had literally died that he might go free. It was sobering news. Now you probably have some questions, like, what did the son do? Did he return to the castle and become king? Did he accept his heritage? Did he even care about the price that his father had paid for his freedom? Did he decide to obey the law? I don't know all those answers. Because you see, you are that son. And I am that son. Scripture says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will anyone die, and yet perhaps for a good man, somebody might even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still criminals, still sinners, Christ died for us. The very heart of the incarnation that John talks about, at the very heart of God himself, lies a cross. It's the true meaning of Christmas. The people who walked in darkness, same verses we started with tonight, have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. For us, God took on flesh and came to be with us as a child. For us, the wood of that cradle becomes the wood of the cross because of God's great love. Let's sing together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be ever gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you, and may you know his love and his joy and his peace and his hope. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.